Join in on the Funversation as Dr. Pam Peek and Michelle King-Robson cut through the confusion and share the naked bottom line truth about all things woman. It's her radio.
Hey, Dr. Deborah Hecker, PhD, psychologist, an expert in everything relationship and partnering, is here to share with us from her wonderful book, Who Am I Without My Partner? And also, is it really possible to re-partner again, find love again, and make it work? Gosh, I hope the answer is yes. Dr. Hecker, what's the answer to that? What about that re-partnering thing?
The answer is yes, but one must be proactive in order to make it successful the following time. There are two things that we must do if we're going to re-partner successfully. One is that we have to do some serious introspection and take a look at what was my contribution to that failed relationship.
It's
I'm sorry?
I hate that part.
Wait a minute, is this a part?
Wait a minute, is this a part
where we actually have to be accountable and be responsible and say, oh, was that my foot in that mouth? Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, God, it's hard, isn't it?
No fingers pointed. No blaming. One has to do some... To thine own self be true. So step number one is that we really have to take a look and see what is it that I contributed to this relationship problem. And even if one thinks that they were done to, there's more to it than that. The second factor is learning a new relationship model. And I think if people can understand that there are two very specific steps to take and that there are predictable reasons why relationships don't work, they absolutely can gain a level of control.
Well, I keep seeing people getting remarried, you know, and they make the same mistakes over and over again. You can just see what they're doing. And it's like you want to shake them and say, what are you doing? It's just the same stuff. What keeps people in that vicious cycle?
Another excellent question, Pam. People tend to keep doing the same thing unless they make a point of doing something different. This is an interesting statistic. The divorce rate for second marriages is 63%. Third marriages is 74%. So basically what happens is, in answer to your question, until we do some of that introspection and take a look at in what ways we are looking to our partner to make us whole, or we're projecting onto our partners some sort of idealized version of what we expect them to be. In other words, basically expecting our partners to grow us up. Until we stop doing that, there is no possible way to have a good relationship. A relationship can only be as good as the two individuals in it. So the answer, Pam, is basically that unless one begins to stop the cycles, their own cycles, their own impasses, they will continue to do that again and again.
Well, what makes somebody, one of those spouses, for instance, if they're married, not want to face it? I mean, is it like tough stuff in their life? I mean, do they need more help? Maybe they need something? What? I don't understand.
Well, I think if we look at, you know, our adult relationships as the byproduct of our early relationships. As children, we develop certain ways of dealing with our primary parent, and if those mechanisms are not functioning constructively, what will happen is we will bring them into the adult relationship. So, for example, let's just say we have a child who is very afraid of a parent's anger. And that child learns to do everything that they can to avoid stirring up their parents' anger. What will happen is if we bring this into the adult relationship, we will see that the same kind of thing will continue to happen, whereby with their partner, this particular individual will be afraid of their partner's anger and therefore will be unable to have, you know, a healthy amount of conflict in the relationship. So the point is, we have certain fears that we learn to adapt to when we're young, and we bring them into our adult relationships, and we develop, it's our status quo, we're comfort. So we're comfortable with it, and until we learn to identify what it is we're doing and learn new behaviors, the beat will go on.
So can I ask the finding love again questions?
Yes, Michelle.
She's holding out hope.
Okay. Look, I'm a person who sees the glasses half full, so let me hear the question.
So, you know, at 54 and divorced, mm-hmm. two divorces behind me, now I'm thrown into this new type of dating. And mm-hmm. I have no idea how to handle this. From the intimacy, I mean, it's just with the sexting and the texting and it's like a whole new world.
Well, you know, those issues are very much related to contemporary dating, which is certainly very different than when the three of us were dating. And but think about it this way, Michelle, unless you plan on dating men in their 30s, chances are pretty good that whoever it is you'll be dating to some extent is, you know, is from a similar generation, so it may not be quite as as much of a problem as you anticipate it to be. But there are definitely some new rules of the game that have to be learned, and I guess it's like anything, it takes time to figure it out and get, most importantly, again, it's getting comfortable with your eye.
Right.
More than anything, instead of playing the game, I think it's really an issue of being comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
And you know, to some degree, I like to think that does come with age and experience. But again, we all have our blinders on, and I think we have to make some special efforts to, you know, self-observe and figure out what it is we're doing. And I think that kind of thing can, you know, once one feels comfortable with themselves, I think that can transcend some of the, you know, the sort of shoulds of the dating world.
Well, Michelle, I think that, you know, in talking to you, you've gotten to a really cool place in your life where you're feeling like much more whole and loving yourself and feeling self-compassion and cutting yourself some slack and giving that inner critic a smackdown when it shows up again. And I think you're going to have fun with this. I mean, aren't you feeling kind of like adventuresome and, you know, looking forward to it?
Well, I'm, you know, I have to say I'm enjoying it, but it's...
Well, that was the sexting part, wasn't it? and didn't you tell me he was 35 years old? I mean, I'm just asking here. That's all I'm doing.
But, you know, but the men that I'm dating are of my age and generation. And they're
young.
And they're still texting, and they're still doing all these. I mean, it's just a different game today. But the one thing, too, Deb, for me is... Mm-hmm. Can I trust myself not to rebound? Because here's the thing. I love being a partner. I've always loved being a partner, whether it's in business, whether it's just, you know, a marriage, a relationship, friendships. I love that camaraderie.
I would say partnering is part of the human condition. I mean, we're all wired to attach.
And Dr. Hecker, I know that you're going to be able to share so much more of this with your wonderful book, and that is Who Am I Without My Partner? And on your website, drdeborahhecker.com. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Michelle and Pam. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King-Robeson with Dr. Pam Peake. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @RadioMD. Stay well.